Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Why Daniel Bryan should be the face of WWE. I'm Ollie Davis, this is Luke Cohen. Welcome to Wrestle Ramble.
Hang on. I've had a thought.
Oh yeah?
About the name of the show.
SmackDown or...
No, Wrestle Ramble.
Okay.
I think, and like, stop me if I'm wrong, but you're not going to stop me. I think we should call it Luke Owens Wrestle Ramble.
Luke Owens Wrestle Ramble.
Yes. Or the Wrestle Luke Owen Ramble.
Or... That one makes less sense.
The Luke Owen Ramble.
I mean, the reason, because we can't put all that in the title, it'll just be Wrestle Ramble. It's a lot of characters.
It's not Twitter. It's YouTube.
There's a 100 character limit. We can't just
support Wrestle Talk.
Give us a subscribe.
Welcome to Luke Owens Wrestle Ramble, featuring Ollie Davis
in a minor role.
So today's episode will be about why Daniel Bryan should be the face of WWE. Yep. And this is kind of old hat because I think everyone agrees with us, and it's kind of, you've got SmackDown with Daniel Bryan as the lead babyface, and you've got Roman Reigns on Raw when he's not celebrating his birthday as the lead babyface over there. And when I was watching the main event, which was very good, right, the triple threat this week, Samoa Joe and Big Cass and Daniel Bryan, Bryan gave it. He gave it to everyone. And in the AJ Styles match, that was pretty much 50-50 as well. He dominated Big Cass in their pay-per-view match. And it's like, WWE usually book their baby faces to be beaten down for the majority and then have a comeback at the end. That's certainly how they've been booking Roman Reigns, especially in that Backlash match against Samoa Joe. But it's interesting that Bryan is of smaller stature and he can still be convincing and a fiery ass kicker.
As a 50-50 guy.
Yeah.
I think they're booking him like he's extra fired up, though. I think that's kind of... They're really selling into that idea that he's so happy to be back that he's actually being a bit vicious. Like, the when he got annoyed with Cass and he attacked him, that was actually quite harsh. He's going out for, like, an injury on this guy. He's attacking an old injury, and he's really laying into it. He's just... They've lit a fire under him, and that seems to be kind of what all these matches are saying, is, like, he's not getting beaten down because he's so happy to be back, and he's obviously so good as well. But yeah, his kind of thing now is, I'm here to fight,
and that's connecting with the crowd.
Yes,
like, absolutely. If Roman Reigns had that storyline, I don't feel like it would be as natural with fan reaction as Daniel Bryan's.
Well, because they switch him, though, with Reigns, they always switch him from being, he's either very dominant or the other person is the really dominant one, and he doesn't get a lot of 50-50 kind of booking. He either is, I think in a lot of the run-up, he is very dominant, and then he comes up against Brock Lesnar, usually, and that's when Brock is the dominant one, and Roman has to be the plucky underdog. And it's like, but he's not been sold as an underdog at any point before this. He's been actually packaged...
What's his name?
...as this crazy force.
The Big Dog.
Yeah, the Big Dog, not the underdog. Yeah, no.
Yeah.
The under the Big Dog.
So, yeah, it'll be like a Roman Reigns template match is beaten down for the majority, like a little bit of 50-50 at the start, but then some shenanigans means he's getting beaten down. And then the last 10% of the match, Superman punch, drive-by, Superman punch, spear. Mm. Wow, what a incredible show of inner fortitude to overcome the odds there. Whereas Daniel Bryan, despite not having the same physically impressive height and body vest.
Vest, yeah.
As Reigns.
Hair and vest.
Is so much more convincing. Like, I'm not scared of Roman Reigns. It's not like I'm scared of Brian either, though. But I feel like Brian could legitimately
stretch me out and all those things.
Yeah,
Brian's got sort of a rabid lumberjack vibe going on that, you know, I quite enjoy.
You this. Quite model yourself on.
Yes, apart from the hair, obviously.
Well, the beard, though.
Yeah, the beard, yeah, maybe. Yeah. It's not as scruffy as Brian's.
Mm. So, it's old hat, really, because everyone wants Daniel Bryan to be the face of the company.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
And especially with Reigns being off at the moment, but... The match was good, though. So this was the whole storyline for the night. It started with us getting the Brian versus Joe match.
Yeah.
Which we talked about last night before we left each other yesterday. Like, oh, I can't wait for tomorrow.
It's going to be so good.
But then Big Cass came out of all people and said, that match isn't happening because I'm actually going to get the shot at being in Money in the Bank when I'm medically cleared. Surprise. I'm medically cleared.
I swerved you.
Yeah.
You've been swerved.
By a suit.
Yeah, I know.
A suit and a crutch.
It was quite a good limp.
It was all a ruse.
It was. It turns out it was a work the whole time.
But do you think that, though, for the whole... what was a work here?
I think he might have tweaked his knee, I think, and it probably just needed a little bit of physio to get back in sort of fighting shape. But, you know, like, my brother's had a knee operation before, and... Every so often you just tweak it and it takes a few days of rest and then you're back to normal.
Yeah, because PW Insider, who are usually pretty on the money for all stuff like this, they must have someone that lives outside WWE's physio facility in Alabama because they always know who's going there. And they did say that Big Cass went last week, I think, to get a checkup on his knee and then it would be a call from them. But, you know, he was booked to face Samoa Joe on last week's SmackDown and he was pulled because of injury. Which was the Daniel Bryan one. But he was still on all the live shows, wasn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
Selling the injury.
Do you know what? Even if it was... and if it is a real injury, it's actually worked out, I think, really well for the storyline.
Yes.
Because you got that moment where Joe's come in the ring, he's gone up the ladder, he's got the briefcase down. Is he allowed to do that? No one stopped him. It was like, everyone was like, that's fine, you're allowed to touch that, you're allowed to tamper with the money in the bank contract.
Does that mean he just won it?
Yeah,
why hasn't anyone else done
this
before?
Why doesn't he just go cash it in now? He's got it. But then, then they have that face-off in the ring, and you're like, everyone thinks they're going to start and throw down, and Cass comes out. And actually, because Cass was out last week, this dream match was set up, and everyone was really excited for it. And then Cass gets to come in and insert himself into the match, and suddenly, bucket loads of heat.
Bucket loads.
Yes.
Bucket not any loads. Other.
No other words
kind
there.
Of word there. Yeah, it was really, and he got heat from me, and it was the good kind of heel heat where I wasn't angry at the company for swerving me and not giving me a match.
Mm.
I was angry buying into a story against a character because it's not like, you know, when I watch a Marvel movie, I'm angry at Loki. Oh, you keep on going back on your word. I'm angry at the character. I'm never like, come on, Kevin Feige, this is ridiculous.
Yeah,
you're burying Thor here. Whereas if I go and watch maybe a Batman v Superman movie, I'm actively angry at the people behind the scenes.
Yeah, well, because they somehow buried all the characters in there.
Yeah.
Except Superman, who was buried and then came back.
Spoiler. I mean, the marketing.
Don't watch it. Haven't seen it, you're in the best timeline.
So the Big Cass got genuine good storyline heat here.
Oh, yeah.
And I always think it's like that old Rolling Stones song. You don't always get what you want, but you get what you need. And that's what was happening here.
I thought you were going to say like Jumping Jack Flash or something. Yeah.
It's like that good old...
I can't get no Rolling satisfaction.
Stones. I just can't
get
no
satisfaction.
A man comes on the television and he tells me how white my shirts can be, but I can't have Brian versus Joe this week. So this is... And like we said last week, I think we let our excitement overtake us about Brian and Joe. But really, this should be saved to have more than just 1 week's build. And...
It's a super match.
It
would be really good.
It's like as great as Cena and Nakamura was last summer, and me and you criticized it rightly then for not having a bigger build. So it'd be hypocritical of us to not do the same here. But the actual match, so it was Big Cass said he was going to face Samoa Joe, But then Paige later revealed, no, it's actually going to be a triple threat because Brian did beat Jeff Hardy last week. He deserves a match. Do you know what Jeff Hardy was doing this week?
No.
He was in a dark match against Shelton Benjamin.
Was he?
Mm, yeah, to open the show. Mm.
Do you reckon he came out of his dressing room in the same manner as, wow!
Oh, yeah, dark match!
I'm ready!
Yeah, so you can have... You've got Woke and Matt Hardy.
Yeah.
What could Jeff's version be? Hyped Jeff.
Cocaine Jeff Hardy. It's a hell of a drug.
He's a high flyer. So the actual match was the triple threat. I really enjoyed the hell out of it. But, you know, it's amazing that this wasn't the best match on the show for my money.
No, it definitely wasn't. But I think it was good enough. It was what you wanted to see, but it didn't. I don't think it went overboard, and I think having Cass there helped it not be this, you know, it would have been maybe just a bit of a, you'd be disappointed if it was just Brian and Joe and that was kind of the complexion of that match. Also because clearly Joe was booked to win. And he wins, you know, and the good thing is you get to see Brian actually beat up Cass and get to the point where the victory is assured at this point. Mm. He's landed the knee, and then Joe comes in and just wrenches him up, puts him in the clutch from behind. So it's a sneak attack, and then Brian doesn't quit. He passes out.
Yes.
So he actually sort of, in that process, retains a bit, he's protected there. He's still like, you know.
Never tapped.
Yeah, exactly. He still gets to be sort of a super strong babyface.
So a few people have pointed this out in reaction to the show, that at Backlash, Roman Reigns faced Samoa Joe, and Roman Reigns quite clearly passed out in the 15 minutes of Samoa Joe rest holds that happened there. And yeah, Reigns passes out quite clearly in the Kikina clutch. Referee lets it carry on. It's bad. Maybe it's a refereeing thing. That's how
maybe
they explain
that's it. Yeah.
But should we get on with the rest of the show?
It would be good for, because Roman Reigns could complain about it, I guess. So we can get on with the rest of the show.
You destroyed my link.
Sorry. Carry on, do it again.
But it is Luke Owens' WrestleRound. Do you want to do it?
Yeah.
Yeah, you host it.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The rest of the show.
It's a SmackDown review, Mangle. I love it. We got us a flying Uso.
So the show opens with Joe coming down to the ring and all the ladder shenanigans and Cass coming out, and then it's booked as a match. We then move on to Shinsuke Nakamura walking around backstage. And he's got...
with some numbers.
He's got some little judges' scorecards and he's counting through them. 1, 2, 3, 4. I think he gets stuck around 7 and he can't quite get 8 out. And then he's 7, does all the 10. And then stands there looking menacing for a bit.
He rips 10.
Oh, he does rip. Yeah. He rips 10 up, and then which is setting up a match between him and Ty Dillinger.
Which had been set up over social media. I think they were tweeting back and forth over the weekend, which was a nice way to set it up.
Yeah, because he'd done the count out as a tweet, hadn't he? And then Ty Dillinger said, if you're going to talk about 10, then
I'm really good at saying that number.
Yeah, I've got the correct number of fingers to display that.
That's my whole gimmick.
Yeah.
The number 10. And then we got another walking backstage segment with Paige, kind of almost West Wing style, walking along, doing an interview with Renee Young, booking a match over here, just walking around this eternal corridor backstage.
She's in limbo, where she's trapped.
So she, Absolution, who are no longer called Absolution, come up and are like, you know, what's so great about Asuka? And Paige says many things. Why don't you find out, Mandy Rose? Why don't you find out the stunning Mandy Rose, which is her full name now, because you'll have a match with them later. And then that's when she books the Joe versus Cass versus Brian for the last Money in the Bank place.
I like all her things. Like, it's weird that her sort of Paige's managerial style is she just walks around, finds people who are cross and goes, I like that fire. She's like, I like that sort of dedication. We'll have that match. We'll do this. She's not.
It's good, yeah.
But it's like she doesn't have any thoughts before the show started. She's not booked anything ahead of time. She's only doing it when people are walking around. Like, she goes into SmackDown every week without a plan, and then people find her backstage and are like, do you know what, I'd like to do something this evening. She's like, brilliant, because do you know what, we've got 2 hours to fill and I haven't thought about it.
I love how WWE stops out, you know, it starts and stops when the show begins. Nothing happens in the universe outside. But sometimes they do. There were obviously tweets with Nakamura and Dillinger.
Oh, yes, yeah, yeah.
But in terms of people behind the scenes actually booking the show in kayfabe, nothing happens.
No, there's not.
I mean, Kurt Angle's style is very much what's on Twitter today. Going through my phone, checking the grams, as you like to say. But we had the... where are they? I've got the announced matches. Joe Bryan. She'd already booked the 6-man tag.
Yep, but she did that last week because everyone was. She does it all because people are cross.
And the dance off with Naomi and Lana.
Yeah.
That was great.
That was a thing that happened, wasn't it?
It wasn't terrible.
No, it wasn't.
But it could have. It wasn't the worst thing this week. And sometimes that's all you need to do in WWE to create an okay show. This next turned into Shinsuke Nakamura going against Ty Dillinger. I really liked this match. It was a really nice filler because I think, what is it, like 3 weeks until Money in the Bank now?
Yeah, so what, June 16th or something like that.
Yeah, so this was a nice way to further that storyline and get over the gimmick without having another Nakamura-AJ confrontation.
Yeah, I think it actually worked. It was really nicely done, actually, and they had some really nice moments, and it was good that sort of Ty played into it. So, like, they'd obviously written this gimmick a long time ago, and I don't think they ever imagined it would have this payoff at some point. But in the match, obviously, he's not pinning Ty. He's dominating Ty, but he's not pinning him.
Is it like he's getting over his strikes, isn't he?
Yes.
Or exactly, do a strike like a boxer and start doing the 10 count.
Yeah, so he was doing that, and then he asked the referee to count, who wouldn't, because he was actually playing by the rules, funnily enough. So then Nakamura was doing the count. There's a couple of great bits of face acting where Ty gets up too early, like, so he gets up on 7 and Nakamura suddenly he's counting and he just gives this little look like, oh, for God's sake, and then comes and beats him down some more. And then the final time he gets up at 9 and he's rested on the ropes looking all banged up and he just does his own 10.
Yes. Yeah, it was really good. And that started off Ty's little comeback. It was brief, but I thought it showed a nice little bit of fire. He even did Nakamura's come on spot.
Yes, he did, didn't he? Yeah.
Which the crowd really enjoyed. Ty's very good. It's just he is somewhat limited by his entire character being based on the number 10. Yeah. But
it's
really
good he's got
this.
Rid of the little collar thing that he used to wear as well. Because he used to wear a thing that was just a collar.
Did it not have a cape?
Maybe it had a little.
Though?
Maybe it had a little like.
Some strings.
It was not a full vest. It was like a little
bib.
He was wearing a bib with a collar.
My one criticism of this booking a match. So Shinsuke wins with the knee, the Kinshasa, and then he pins him. And then after the match, he hits a Kinshasa to the back of Ty's head and does the full 10 count. If you're gonna do that, why not just have Shinsuke win like that and do the full 10 count as the end of the match? Because you can still, it doesn't have to be a last man standing match to win when someone is down for the 10. And it would get over that Shinsuke's more of a threat in the last man standing stipulation. Here it almost said to me, Shinsuke really tried to beat a guy by knocking him out, who's hardly on TV and hasn't really been shown as much of a threat, but he couldn't do it. He had to pin him.
Well, he could have, yeah, because he could have done Kinshasa, the pin for the 1-2-3, and then started counting, and then he's down for 13 seconds, which looks even more impressive. Or done counted 7 seconds and then pinned him and still got the 1-2-3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there are multiple. It wasn't bad, but it was just a weird missed opportunity when it was so obviously there and would have been better. I can't really explain that. But then we cut backstage to AJ Styles with, do you know who this, it wasn't, I don't think it was, it Dasher?
I don't know.
It wasn't Charlie Caruso.
They don't get little name straps anymore, so you're just like,
I've written down generic interviewer number 3. I think it's Dasher. Yeah. I'm going to stick with Dasher. And she talks to AJ.
Just one of another trapped souls in the corridors of WWE, that's all.
About Nakamura, and AJ says that he's going to beat him because Nakamura will underestimate him.
Yep.
Not the best strategy to go in. I feel like you're underestimating someone by thinking they'll underestimate you.
Yeah, and also, it's difficult to be like, people always underestimate me when you're holding the top prize.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, it just doesn't seem right for his character, because it's just, you're literally holding this gigantic belt that says you're pretty good. So I think most people wouldn't underestimate you in that scenario.
Next up, we got the dance-off.
Yep.
What was your thoughts when you saw this advertised at the start of the show? Were you looking forward to it, counting down the segments until it happened?
Yeah. No. Funnily enough, I thought it would be a bit of a waste of our time.
And but it wasn't terrible.
It wasn't. Do you know what? Actually, it turned out they're both quite good dancers.
Yeah.
And I was surprised. There was less like, I don't know, because I feel like if you're going to bring Lana out and you're going to bring like the whole Rusev Day gang out, you might as well do something a bit more like, have a bit of Aiden English speaking a bit more at the beginning. Have a bit more like, let's make it more fun. And there wasn't really, I don't think there was enough fun in this segment. It was more just sort of, actually taken quite seriously as a dance competition.
Yeah.
And then Lana betrays Naomi after they've done a little code, they did dance, little dance together, and then she drops her.
I was so worried when that happened. So Lana does her 30, 45 seconds of dancing, then Naomi does hers, and then like they start dancing together, doing a little foot hug thing, and then they hug afterwards, and I was like, oh my God, WWE, you're doing that thing I hate where all the wrestlers are friends together. This is the women's second time in history. We're building up to that. And I was writing furious notes. And then Lana gave her a neck breaker.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, that's good. That saved the segment for
Who
me.
Who won the dance-off for you?
Yes, okay. So, I mean, was there an actual winner on the TV show?
No, I don't think so. I think there was no, like, they didn't say anyone won. They just said, let's do a dance together.
Yeah.
And then they danced together and then it all broke down. So I don't think there was no resolution to this entire segment.
Byron Saxton said Lana got served immediately after Naomi's dance and Corey just told him to shut up, which was nice. I would give it to Lana.
Yeah, I'll give it to Lana.
Because
she did a little bit of breakdancing, I like that.
Yeah,
she did like a spinneroonie. It was quite.
And she did the sort of a few robot style bits,
yeah,
which I'm more of a fan of. And Naomi's was very like
Naomi's was like a Zumba class.
Yeah.
It was very just shaking it.
It's impressive.
Yeah.
But it's not what I would I don't find it a great style of dancing. I don't know. I'm not really a dance man.
Your dance review.
But, you know,
so
like,
that's the Luke Owen dance ramble won't take off now.
If I'm going to the club, if anyone's dancing the way Naomi is near me, I would go, it's a bit much.
I would just, because I would be worried that they would spill my drink.
Mm-hmm. And if someone's doing like Lana's fun geeky robot dance with an occasional bit of good movement, I mean, hey, I'm going to hang out with that person. Maybe ask to buy her a drink.
Creepy, mate.
Creep over there.
Creepy.
And also, Naomi did a dab at the end.
Oh, she did.
So that was an automatic loss. She should have flossed, right?
Yeah, well, I thought.
No one did floss.
Well, did Lana not dab at her first?
Oh, did she?
Were they not dabbing each other?
I didn't see
dabbing
that.
At each other.
So the Usos were here as well.
They were?
Because...
Husbands.
Yeah.
Husbands.
Both of them.
Both of them. I mean...
if you marry an identical twin,
they're essentially interchangeable,
yeah,
yeah, aren't they, I guess. So,
how do you feel about the Usos at the moment?
I think they're really good. In this thing, I didn't understand... The thing I didn't understand was they're coming out with Naomi. Naomi's like a super face. The Usos, I guess, are faces to a degree, but like their characters are, I don't know, feel more heelish to me, but they don't really do heel stuff. So I just thought that it just seems like, even though they are married, it's a really odd pairing to come out. I don't know, it just jars with me.
I feel that. It's weird how the last time we kind of saw them all together was the Bludgeon Brothers stuff.
Yes.
Which has just been dropped.
Yeah, they've got their own thing going on now,
with
they?
Carl Anderson's... Well...
But they've also not shown up for a very long time, the Bludgeon Brothers, which is... I don't know, it's very strange.
Lots of moody promos on TV screens. They're really good at hacking in. We'll come to that later.
Yeah, it's weird. Yeah, it's strange that they're very good at getting themselves on the telly. Mm.
For people who look like quite analogue... and not into technology.
Yeah. What you can't see is the tech guy in the corner that they're just holding a hammer to. Just going, put us on.
So this was the start of a kind of the tag team section of the show, because you had the Usos and Rusev Day there. And next up we had what I think we both agree is the best segment of the show, the New Day versus Miz and Bar match.
Mm-hmm.
It was really, really good. A really great six-man tag.
I just loved everything about it. I just thought it was really good.
In the backstage build-up beforehand, I can't remember his name. The butler guy.
Oh, yeah.
But this was his second appearance,
Booty
I think.
Booty something, probably.
Mr. Booty Butler.
Yeah.
Sounds like a weird sex slave. Where he just comes and brings them pancakes. And he gives them some, for some carb preloading, some pancakes. But then Miz is shown backstage with a blindfold on, fending off pancakes as the bar throw them to him. He was doing pretty well.
He was, actually, yeah.
Yeah. It was all silly, but
it was very enjoyable.
It was good silliness. Yeah. And this turned into the six-man tag afterwards. It was mostly, the first half of the match was The Miz and The Bar.
Beating down Kofi.
Yeah, stopping that hot tag from happening.
Yeah. And then when the hot tag does happen, suddenly it shifted gear. It just went, I think Xavier's been on fire recently as well. He suddenly has got loads of new things he's doing. Every week they come out also and do something new the New Day. Like, so he did. There was a good bit where Sheamus misses a dive at him in the corner, but goes lower than you would expect. So he goes through the post, doesn't he? And he's on his knees.
Mm.
And Xavier steps off his back and flips to the outside onto Cesaro.
It was great.
Was awesome. There was a Uranagi from Big E that Xavier stuck a backstabber on as well. That was really cool.
That was a really good near fall on Cesaro. I bought into that. I thought that might be the finish. But and that was like in the middle of a sequence of loads of near falls.
Yeah.
It was really, really fast paced match. And we criticize WWE a lot, but they're really good at six man tags when they have the right people in there. Mm. They're really good at structuring those. Maybe just get some six man tag belts.
Maybe. It's one of those things where it's just like they always just do just enough new stuff in those sorts of matches. That's all I want to see, is like a little bit of imagination. It's not just coming out and doing, let's just do the spots that people really like. And obviously
tope.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then but even like the entrances, like, so the Bar and the Miz had a combined entrance. And the Bar did their, and then Miz came out in the middle of that and did his, and then they all did that. I thought that was great.
That's going to be great for podcast listeners.
Yeah.
All those silent...
Oh, yeah, sorry, I'll do it with descriptions. So, Sheamus and Cesaro, Sheamus puts his left hand up in a point, pointing at Cesaro, and then he brings his right hand over the top. Brings his right hand over the top, and he points to Cesaro. Cesaro is doing the opposite, if you imagine. The Miz comes out. He is wearing a long coat and a little headband. He does a twirl, and then he takes two fingers on his right hand, raises them to the sky, and then brings them down to the right and points. And then the three of them together all raise their right hand, holding their thumb out, sort of horizontally. Is that good enough?
That was brilliant.
Is that good enough for podcast listeners?
I hope they enjoy that.
And it was incredibly exciting, as you can tell from the way that I've described it.
I mean, I was excited. Yeah. I want you to do more segments like this.
Yeah, it's just really, really hopeless. Did you see the bit also where the kids... they poured the pancakes out of the cereal box, science. And they were pouring it, they were just sort of making it rain on one little kid. And this other kid snatches a pancake out of the out of that kid's mouth and then eats it.
Ah, what a kid's like.
That was amazing. I just thought...
But the match ended with Big E pinning The Miz. Mm. Second week in a row that's happened.
After the big ending.
Yeah. So, I mean, when Big E won and stood tall at the end, even though he had Kofi and Xavier beside him, and they're all kind of going, who, about who's going to get that last Money in the Bank place out of them, I feel like it's going to be Big E.
Yeah, I think the setup sort of seems like it's going to be Big E. I don't think I would necessarily... Well, maybe actually he's a kind of power player. It might be quite good. But yeah, I don't know. I would like Xavier to be in the...
I agree, just sort of
personal preference. And I just think, just as being... as a nice reward for being most improved, I think also. I think he's one of the most improved wrestlers in the last, like, year and a half, maybe,
yeah,
that
definitely.
I've watched.
Yeah, out of the three, not saying Big E's a bad choice. I still really do enjoy his work. But out of the three... Xavier would be top and Kofi would be next.
Yeah.
And then it would be
Biggie. I just think they would have... There's just going to be more for them to do with ladders.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, they're going to scorch cortexes with what they do with ladders to...
They're going to what?
Scorch cortexes, to paraphrase Jeff Hardy.
Woohoo!
Whoa! I've got many
ladders!
Thoughts about ladders!
On his synapses.
Yes.
Mm. Next up, still with the tag division... We got Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, who, despite winning the match last week to become the number one contenders to the titles, I forgot were even in the company again. It's always like a...
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there they are, yeah. Still sort of being caught... So they were referenced as the Good Brothers backstage, but I still think they come out as Gallows and Anderson.
Yeah.
Let's just change the name. Let's just have them as the Good Brothers now.
It's a good name.
It's a good name.
And you can kind of play up that Bludgeon Brothers vibe as well.
Mm.
You mentioned outside that the Good Brothers just seem to cut promos based on their Instagram feed.
Yeah.
Yeah, and in jokes.
They're just saying whatever they like. It's just, I don't know, there was no content in that was like really setting up the match. They were just saying like their one catchphrase, which is nerds, and then Anderson was just doing things off his Instagram, talking about his abs, talking about his hot Asian wife.
I almost admire the balls in, like, we don't care, we're just going to pop us and the people who follow us and a few of the boys in the back. I like that. Yeah, because there's no real setup. Carl Anderson's hot Asian wife has never really been explained as a character or set up in any commentary bits.
No one knows as far as we know, no one knows he's married on the show.
Yeah.
Like,
she certainly hasn't come out for a dance-off.
No.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be next week's one.
But it looks like they have added a new facet to Carl Anderson's character, which is that he has abs. I mean, they look in shape on the sides, in a company that has Rollins, Balor, and Tony Nese, they weren't, you know, they're not the abs I'm looking for.
So he's not going to be Carl Absterson.
You said that, didn't you?
I did,
yeah. Yeah, you just went for it.
Why not?
Did you say it out loud earlier?
No, I
thought that might work.
No, I've just tried to say it now.
That's a good one. That's fine.
It's not a good one, but that's why he's not going to be called Carl Absterson.
So they say nerds, or they're just about to say nerds.
And then
there's some interference because the Bludgeon Brothers have that tech guy again. They've hacked a TV that was just standing to the side. I assume that the Good Brothers were actually watching that TV because that's sort of the angle they watch matches on. And... the Bludgeon Brothers cut a weirdly intense promo.
Yeah, it was real. Real intense.
Liquefy Bodies was the one that stood out to me.
What were the other ones? It was.
I can't remember. It's very... I feel like this is Vince McMahon's... Vince McMahon's got a heavy hand in the scripting of this. Mm. He always likes that stuff with Eviscerate and with Kane and Taker.
But why are they going to liquefy... Like, how do you liquefy a body with a hammer?
I guess if
you just hit it hard enough.
Yeah, emulsifier.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to take forever.
I still feel like if you hit a body hard enough, it's just going to Rene Young.
Yes.
So
it's the verb now?
Yeah, it's going to Rene Young. We're learning new verbs every day. Yesterday it was beautiful minding.
Yep.
She's beautiful minded all over the board.
Next up we had Asuka. Well, actually, Bludgeon Brothers and Good Brothers.
Mm.
You excited about that?
In
3 weeks' time, we've got 3 weeks of build left, so they can still hook us in.
I just think it's going to be a squash match.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I don't know. I just don't think it's going to be much of a match. Even though they've got Gallows, who is on a similar sort of stature to the Bludgeon Brothers, I still just think it's going to be a squash.
And Carl Anderson is a terrific wrestler. It's amazing he isn't showcased more. One day, hopefully a singles run. But yeah, there's 3 weeks still to
or just an actual serious tag run. But I don't feel like the way they're building this, I don't think this promo suggested that they're going to be taken seriously, the Gallows and Anderson. And I just think that the Bludgeon Brothers are being very intense and weirdly not showing up.
That isn't the feud for the Bludgeon Brothers to drop their titles to.
Absolutely
not. They're setting up something down the line. Yeah. Possibly a sanity. Who have just disappeared as well. There's been no promos for about three weeks.
I think I also just feel like a sanity Bludgeon Brothers, while kind of makes sense, I think they're just too similar. Like, I would find it very difficult to be excited by that feud, even though I would want Sanity to probably win it. It's because they kind of got the same vibe.
Mm. Just doom ridden.
Yeah.
So you've got like Bludgeon Brothers, Authors of Pain, and Sanity. They're all in the same part of the theme park.
The intense bracket.
Yeah. So next up we had Asuka taking on Mandy Rose, which was set up by Paige earlier. And just as Asuka's making her entrance, Sonya Deville attacks her. Oh,
boom.
No. And then, then that believably kind of gave Mandy Rose the other
hand. I feel like she should have maybe put a few more boots in there. I don't know. It was Sonya Deville just sort of hit her and knocked her down and then went off.
Yeah.
And I was just like
fists to the back.
Yeah, and then that was apparently enough. I feel like Sonya should have put a proper beat down on her and then chucked her in the ring.
A chair shot would have been nice.
Yeah, is that just? Yeah. I think something that actually, because it just was trying to make it believable that Mandy would have the upper hand for the beginning before Asuka starts rolling. But I just feel like you would want more, because it's Asuka. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I agree. But ever since she's lost that streak, WWE have had nothing for her.
No, I don't care.
And they've really, really let her fizzle out. I mean, she's got the title shot against Carmella in 3 weeks' time. Carmella was on commentary.
Oh, she was, wasn't she? Yeah.
In her dungarees and boob tube.
Mm-hmm.
A combination that I never knew I liked.
Sounds like you do.
Yeah, it's great.
I saw you ordering some for yourself, actually.
Well, yeah. It's an attractive look. And, yeah, for when I finally record Carmella's entrance music as a video.
If you can spell it, because I can't. I've been trying to sing it in my head all day.
Go on, give it a go.
F-A-B-U-L-O-U-S. Yes.
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 Hey.
There we go. But most of the time today, it's just been going F-A-B-E-L...
Maybe
an S. Is there another S?
There's a yes.
There's a yes. And that's what's throwing
Fabulous
me
yes. That rendition
Fabulous.
You kind of... You missed out the tune... Because you had question marks for every
yes, that
every
was
letter.
It's a
F A B U L O U.
Pardon. Also, Mandy Rose's entrance. What are they putting on the lens? Is it Vaseline?
Yeah.
They like Vaseline the lens to give it this sort of dreamlike quality.
It's the old Hollywood, classical Hollywood camera close-ups of vixens. And Todd Phillips is calling her the stunning Mandy Rose, as we said earlier. It's just all very... I don't feel like this gimmick really works these days. And if it does, they need to be a better wrestler.
Yeah. It's fine, she's hot, but that can't be her whole thing.
Yeah.
In a field of, like, the majority of the women in WWE are attractive. So... It doesn't really work to be like, I'm the hot one. So I don't know. I feel like they're all athletic and beautiful and talented. So why would you be just beautiful but not necessarily talented?
Yeah. How did you get here?
Yeah.
It's the exact same argument as saying this guy should be pushed purely because he's big. And there's a fan pushback on that because it's like being tall is the female equivalent of, or the male equivalent of a lady being very pretty. And blonde, and that particular Vince McMahon, Kevin Dunn preferred shape. But yes, it's the entrance is I wouldn't like it if someone walked in on me watching Mandy Rose's entrance.
No, it's a bit, it's ogly, isn't it?
It's a bit creepy.
Yeah.
It's a bit me buying Lana a drink.
Yeah.
When she's dancing in the club.
Yeah.
So
a well-known voyeur.
Asuka tapped out Rose with the Asuka lock rather quickly in the end. It was like a 3-4 minute match. And then it cut back to Charlotte and Becky Lynch watching this on a monitor in an actual
hanging out. I feel like that was a criticism of last week's if they're friends, why aren't they watching it together kind of thing when they were watching the Money in the Bank thing.
Because the WWE writers watched us and then changed it.
Well, I feel like I've seen a lot of people saying stuff, so cool. I'm not just saying it's us.
It's
probably
embrace,
me.
Yes.
It's probably me.
Of course, sorry.
Luke Owen.
Luke Owen's Wrestle Ramble.
Luke Owen's Wrestle Ramble.
Holly Davis. And they're watching it together.
You missed off in a minor role.
In a minor role. Is that the full title?
In a minor role, yeah.
I'll have to put that in the video description. And Charlotte says that she's going to win. I can see it in the future. Charlotte's promos are so forced and stagey. I hate them. And Becky Lynch, however, really good.
I enjoy it.
Look a little bit to the left.
What is that?
Look a little bit more to the left.
What are you doing?
I'm doing a Becky Lynch accent.
Are you not?
I'm not very good at accents.
For a bit of it, it sounded like Apu from Simpsons. And then at the end, it became, I don't know, like Liverpool, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
Like, it was sort of Scouse at the end.
It's a wandering accent.
Yeah.
Yeah, no one can quite pin it down.
I've got a nomadic accent.
Yeah. And Becky said that, actually, if you look this far to the left, you'll be looking at me. I'm going to win Money in the Bank. Ooh, and then did you see Paige walk by backstage?
No.
So behind them, Paige walks by. Behind them in the background.
With a listening device.
Yeah. Where is the anger that I can book a match from? And she walks past, and I thought, is that going to pay off? Because it takes ages for her to then come round into the shot and go, oh, Team PCB reunion. Let's have a tea time. Did she ever actually make the match here?
No, she just said, let's have a tea time. I can do that because I'm British. And then she wandered off.
Yeah. It was a confusing way to end this segment, and then the commentators said, oh, it's going to be a match next week.
Was that slightly later?
But yeah, weird. And did you notice the lighting on the back walls? I was quite focused on the background. I was a bit bored by Charlotte's words.
what was the lighting on the back
walls? It was just purple. Someone had put a purple light to make the background look more interesting.
We've got to jazz up Limbo, I guess. That's the... If you left it in the drab grey colours of backstages.
And then we had Andrade Cien Almas coming out of the men's locker room. Mm-hmm. Hasn't got his own locker room. And Sin Cara's like, hey, man.
We go way back.
We're Latino, right? And then they hugged, but Andrade's like, get off me, mate.
Yeah,
and Zelina Vega comes in and says, don't you dare go near him. We're much better than you.
Mm.
So that's probably a match next week, right?
Yeah, you'd imagine so. Mm. Which is good, because it would be nice to see Andrade go up against someone who is actually, like, on the roster.
Yeah.
If you're going to do the squash thing, have him squash people who are actually on the roster.
Like Sin Cara. I mean, Sin Cara's really good. I like Sin Cara. It's, when they both faced off against each other, and did you hear about Rey Mysterio earlier this week?
Yes.
I was just like, Rey Mysterio, he didn't tease, he was like, if I came back to WWE... I'd love to be in a faction with Andrade, Lince Dorado, and Gran Metalik.
Because there was a
and Kalisto.
Yeah, because there was a picture of him, wasn't there, with all of them backstage when he was at the Rumble.
Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, that would be awesome.
That'd be so cool. Like that would be a really, really good faction. Rey could. I mean, like, would that be heels? They'd just be cool, like an LIJ kind of thing from New Japan.
I feel like they would. I think heels would be good for him.
I can't imagine Rey as a heel, especially if he's the leader.
Yeah, I guess if he's coming, if he's making a comeback, it kind of always has to be a face, I imagine. But I don't know. It would be a bit. It would be a strange turn for Almas to suddenly swerve.
We could just be a badass.
Yeah, true.
Like, a lot of the guys in LIJ are heelish, but they're receivers, baby faces a lot of the time. But unfortunately, it looks like that isn't going to happen because Sin Cara was just told to do one. And then we got the main event, which we've already talked about. But at the end of the show, after Samoa Joe wins, we got Cass giving Brian the big boot.
Bosh.
So, guess that feud's continuing.
Oh, yeah. Great. Because Cass is really tall.
Mm. and we're going to get a second match, I guess, at Money in the Bank between
them. I don't see the point. Let's just move on from this.
There are so many other people that Brian could face. I guess you've got a lot of your top stars in the Money in the Bank match.
Mm.
So who could Brian be programmed against?
But I guess also they probably just want to eke it out over time, because it's just a good filler, isn't it? If you just have Brian in a match against anyone that you would... He's that kind of AJ Styles style character as well, where you've got matches in your head that you want to see AJ do.
Mm-hmm.
And same for Daniel Bryan, especially now that he's, you know, he went away and came back and you never thought you'd ever see them again. So everyone's like, I never imagined I'd get to see this. So I guess they're just going to eke out for any time they're like, well, we don't really have anything for this one, so let's do a Bryan build. You know, I think there's a bit too much kind of going on in this one because of the two huge ladder matches. And then also, what is it? Who's Reigns against Jinder?
Yeah.
So that, you know, they think that's pretty high up the card.
It's just a shame it's come for Brian's first singles feud. Like, this is his hot out the gate thing. Mm. Have you heard one of the reasons why WWE haven't fully committed to this huge Brian push and big time matches?
No.
Apparently, he hasn't re-signed.
It was that he hasn't actually signed a new contract yet, so he's like on an extension or something, is he?
Or it ends in September time. So that's
he's not going to get his big moment until after then.
Could be an interesting few months.
Also, because I guess like beyond Samoa Joe, I'm trying to like rack my brain and think of what huge heels I'd like to see.
Nakamura.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Nakamura's in this program of AJ.
So
I'd love to see him against Nakamura, but let's finish up this whole business that we're doing at Money in the Bank. Because also, that would be a really good little feud for him as well. If Nakamura does win the title at Money in the Bank, and then Brian is against Nakamura, amazing. For the title as well.
Those four guys, you can have fatal four ways, then triple threats, then the occasional singles match. Yeah. Brian, Joe, Nakamura, AJ. That's mouthwatering.
That's an amazing top of the card.
I gave this 4 out of 5, a smacktastic. What about you? Just purely for the match quality.
For the match quality.
Yeah, I thought it was really good this week. And everything else was, nothing was terrible.
No, that's
and
always
everything
a boon.
Furthered the feud, I thought.
3.5.
3.5.
I can do a 3.5.
A high average.
Yes, I liked all the matches. I just don't think they all paid off in the way that I would have liked to have seen.
Yeah, and Big Cass.
And just Big Cass, like, coming in, spoiling all our fun.
Being all big.
Getting his heat.
Yeah. Well, that's all we've got time for today's show, so please click the videos that have just appeared on our laps to catch up with the latest WrestleTalk videos, and subscribe to this channel and the podcast version that's right here. I've been Ollie Davis, this has been Luke Owen, and that was Luke Owen's Wrestle Ramble featuring Ollie Davis in a minor role.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape.
And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.